Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Fosters After Show. Thank you for singing along, Hannah.
No problem. I had no idea that was going to cut in on the end of...
We're perfectly okay with it. Guys, tonight we're talking about minor offenses, which is, oh my god, the double entendre of the season.
Truth.
As always, are you okay?
I agreed that I got it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I got it.
Should we move on from it?
Yep.
Let's do some quick intros. We're in a bit of an abbreviated panel tonight. Steph's out. Jillian's out. Jillian is sick of the show. No, she is sick in general. So we're sending her our positive thoughts. Stephanie's not sick, but we're also sending her positive thoughts.
Yep.
We're here. I'm Jeffrey Masters. I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
And I'm Hannah Pritchard, and I tweet from Matt the Hot Shot Dude.
Absolutely. And we love tweeting with you all week. You can follow us on Twitter, on iTunes, on YouTube. Leave us a comment, subscribe. And we love hearing from you. Let's get to the episode. A lot happened. Is it okay with you? I'd like to start with something that I have a bit of a negative reaction on.
Oh, yeah.
The time jump.
Yeah, I had an issue with it as well. Like, what do you mean we didn't get to watch the surgery?
Right.
I mean, I'll watch it. Like, I didn't want to be, like, there with the scalpel, but, like, I wanted...
Oh, no, I did. Dr. Bailey from Grey's Anatomy directed an episode. I wanted her, like, to, like, cross over.
That would have been absolutely wonderful.
I know.
They missed that opportunity so hard, and they missed my tears. Like, I wanted to cry. I wanted to have, like, a crying moment.
Yeah, you know, towards the end of it, like, I was actually more okay with it, but just the fact that we've been talking about it for so long, and there was such a build-up to it... For us to start off, and there was that quick line of, like, you know, how, like, are you okay from surgery? I was like, wait, it happened?
Yeah, me too. Her, like, grabbing her chest, and she was like, take it easy, you know, after the surgery. And I was like, wait, what?
I know. I made us rewind it twice, because I was like, did they say, like, preparing for it?
No.
But, no.
Because I feel like we had so many weeks of, like, prepping for the decision on the surgery, and then once they agreed on what was happening, then we just, like, jumped to it. Which, by the end, though, I was fine with it because I feel like there's things that we needed to get to post-surgery. So yeah. I understand why they did that. But at the beginning of the episode, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, and I agree. And, I don't need to be shown everything. You know, we're a smart audience.
Right.
But I don't know. It's something about it at the very beginning, and then everyone's, like, checking in with other characters about it. It kind of was off.
Yeah, and it was, like, 10 days later. I wanted to know what that was like when she got home and how the other characters felt about it and how the kids felt about it and how they all reacted to it and her immediate reactions post-surgery.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll get to those. And where was Mama?
I know. Annie Potts?
Yeah.
I know. I wrote that down. I have no idea. The only thing I could think is that this time jump is... not like a small mistake. It was clearly right. Incredibly deliberate. And so they made that choice knowing that it was going to be big. The only thing I can think of is that they just thought maybe like these scenes in the hospital would have been too obvious.
Yeah.
Just like tearjerkers for the sake of like tearjerkers and not moving the plot.
That's very, very true. Okay. So I can understand that.
Maybe to be like a little more obvious, like again, we don't need it spelled out, but maybe like helping her through the front door the first time back. I don't know.
Yeah, just like a little more indicated. Like I want to do what you're not supposed to do. I wanted some indication.
I know, and I feel like I'm always like upset when I'm like, yeah, I got it.
All right.
But yeah, something.
In this moment, I wanted it. I wanted to feel with them. And granted, I still felt in this episode, I told you, I almost cried at one point again, and I don't know what this show does to me.
I know. And then the scenes with Lena and Steph, and she's hiding and her changing.
Which I actually wondered in that very first scene when she, like, well, first I was like, oh, yeah, we're about to get some. We're gay. But then I did think, I was like, that is interesting, her being in just her bra and about to take off her bra right in front of Steph right after the surgery. I was like, that is an interesting choice for them to do that. But then they went back to it at the end and made sense of it all.
Yeah, and I like that they addressed it together.
Yeah, which would make sense, actually, to me. At first, I was like, why? I wasn't sure if we were just, like, creating an issue or a topic to be discussed. Yeah. But then I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, that would actually make sense if your, like, partner or somebody you loved all of a sudden didn't have that womanly part of them. You would feel uncomfortable being like, well, here's mine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it's like she said she was guilty that her body was intact.
Right.
I think that's justified.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. It's like she doesn't want to rub it in her face, but now she's like overcorrecting.
Exactly.
But I like that it happened a couple times, because if it happens once, they say, no, what do you mean? But twice, you're like, here's the file.
Exactly. And I loved that little moment with them on the bed, and she was like, I'm starting to feel this spot right here. And like that, oh, I just thought that was so sweet.
I know. And I just didn't think about, too, that, like, obviously there would be, a loss of sensation.
Yeah.
And it would take a while, it would be numb, and, like, it would take a while to come back. So, that just kind of, like, startled me.
Well, and I actually wondered that, too, because I knew there was a loss of sensation, but I also knew that with, like, losing that much of that, that sometimes you never get that feeling back. Like, it can be completely numb right there. So when she said that she could feel one spot, I'm like, I wonder, though, if she will feel everything again.
Wow. That, I mean, that's something that I never even thought about.
Yeah.
Ever.
Like her entire chest. Like, will she be able to feel touch right there?
Wow. I think that's an amazing place I hope they go to, like, address and talk about.
Yeah. I hope so, too. And I think that they will, since they, like, even mentioned just, like, the top of her being able to get sensation back.
Yeah.
Or, like, feel that touch again.
Yeah.
So I wonder, though, if that'll be an issue as it, like, goes down. I don't know.
Yeah. We talked before about other people who are going through similar things in their lives and being able to see it reflected. And then I think about two people who will go through this.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, it's unfortunately, like, fairly common thing. We're going to know somebody, at least in your life. So to have this, like, frame of reference.
Yes.
Just to have that sensitivity towards, like, maybe you're not going to have, like, full feeling back. And to knowing that ahead of time, I think, is really powerful.
Yeah. Oh, God. And if she doesn't get it back, I can only imagine the way, I don't know, that Steph will deal with that and expressing that to Lena. And will she tell Lena, like, if she doesn't get the feeling back? Or will that be something that, I don't know. To me, I just thought that was very interesting.
I have no idea. But, like, I'm glad they ended on, like, the sweet moment.
Oh, my God. It was so sweet. And something about their relationship, every single time they have those little moments, it's like, they really have the perfect on television, like, chemistry and relationship. Like,
yeah.
It's so beautiful to watch that on the show.
Yeah, and a lot of things have been written, too, about their friendship in real life. Clearly, they've, like, grown close. And, like, it's just, like you said, it's amazing to see.
Oh, gosh, it's so beautiful.
I love them together. Also, just, like,
too.
It's beautiful and they are beautiful.
Right? Like, Lena in those pants. The pants that she wears on the episode tonight, I was like, her butt looks great in those pants.
The red pants in the office.
Yes! She was working dude.
So that was the scene with Monty.
Yes.
That was a weird thing with the student council ex-president doing her senior project.
Yes.
There was just a lot of talk about that, and I can't help but think, like, what is this planting the seeds for within the plot?
Right.
Because if they never address it again, I'll be like, Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
I think there's no way that they're not going to. Which one? Do you remember that character's name?
Oh, I don't.
I don't either. And I know I looked it up last week, but I already forgot. But I remember last week saying, I don't trust this girl. I think she's going to end up being a bad girl. But now in this episode, I'm like, no, I don't think she's going to be a bad girl. I think they're almost going to have a student-teacher relationship. And I'm...
No.
You didn't get that vibe?
No, only because I'm, like, I'm over the vibe from Brandon. I have too much of the vibe. no, I didn't think that... I didn't even glimpse that. And I'm looking back
at
it now, over this 3 seconds you just asked, I don't see it at all.
But I felt like that's why Lena was getting, like, frustrated with her and, like, kind of worried. Almost in, like, a jealous sense. Not that I think Lena's still interested in Monty, but I felt like that raised Lena to be like, hold on, why are you treating that student that way? Why are you looking at that student that way?
No, I think it was just that Lena thought she had a valid point in the fact that she was being contradicted in front of the student. Although I have to say, I didn't have any problem with what happened between Monty and her until the very end when she said, we did it to get your son back in school.
Which, wasn't that Monty's idea?
Yes, it
Lena
was.
Tried to fight that and Monty was like, no.
100%.
And then to turn that around on Lena, I was not happy about that.
I know.
It was...
Although, like, I really do not think there will be a relationship between Monty and the student, but the student did say Monty worked her magic.
Yeah, it was not... I was not feeling any of those vibes that were happening, and I really am afraid that they're going to bring it back to a student-teacher relationship. Not that necessarily the chick will be interested, but I think that Monty may blur some lines.
I think that would be so 180 out of Monty's character that I don't think it's possible.
I hope so, but I wonder if Monty's still, like, scrambling, though, because Steph was, like, her first... You know,
thing.
Yeah, and then to, like, be rejected and denied from that, and then to be, like, confused about where you stand with everything, I'm like, Monty may be scrambling and may make some very poor decisions.
We'll have to see.
Only time will tell.
I mean, at this point, we don't know anything.
No.
Enough information to make a clear delineation.
You and big words. I'm like,
oh, thank you. I've been practicing. Okay, we have to talk about Callie and Justina.
And the bob. They pulled the bob back tonight. Did you see that? How'd you feel about that? They pulled it back in a ponytail, I was like...
I was into it, yeah.
You were into it?
Yeah,
you were into it. Oh.
Yeah, so just to, like, break it down, there's this new reform bill.
Yes.
It's going through... I was going to say the Senate, but it's not the Senate. It's going through, like, their legislative whatever it is. Wait, is this a statewide bill they're talking about?
I thought it was state... Right, it is statewide, right? Because bills like that are statewide.
For some reason, I was thinking it was, like, San Diego local, but I think you're exactly right. I don't actually know.
No.
But there is a bill. They call it the reform
right.
bill. And we found out today that, like, 50% of funds will go through privatization, of which Justina now seems to support. So do we think that she supports it because... They had an amazing scene, I thought, with Callie and Justina arguing about it.
Oh, absolutely.
And I really loved Justina's analogy that you go to a charter school.
Yeah, I did too, but I loved it too for the reasons that I hated it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it described it in a way that it did make Callie understand, and I think as viewers made us be like, oh, wait. But we know it can't be a good thing because... People who are involved and understand those things and fight for the foster system don't agree with it, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, Rita is not doing a private home because she doesn't think it's work. So she chose that branch. But I just felt bad during that scene because Callie and Justina are having this, I don't want to say argument, just like a discussion
yes.
about what's best. And Callie just doesn't have enough facts to make a point.
Exactly.
She has emotions and she has, like, personal experience and, like, what helped her, but it's one case versus Justina's, like, research that she does.
Exactly.
It's a weird argument.
Exactly. And not even just when you're young, even, like, when they first started bringing it up, I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't understand.
Yeah.
So anybody who, like, doesn't fully understand or have all of that knowledge or is young like Callie, they're going to be easily swayed by whoever comes with them to them with the facts first. You know what I mean? And then it's hard to go back from that.
And Rita did call her out that she was, like, regurgitating exactly what she was told. Here's my question, though. Justina mentioned the superior service should be, like, profited from. Like, they should be rewarded for that. And I don't think that the child care system should ever be, like, a profit center for anybody.
Right.
But my question is, do we think she's supporting this bill because she genuinely believes this is the right way to do it? Or because it's, like, a private center, is she getting, like, a kickback or
That's
some kind of
I
money?
Think.
You do?
Yes. Because I never trusted Justine from the beginning, and I felt that there was always a catch for her personally, like, a personal gain for her.
Yeah.
And I feel like this may be the personal gain for her. Like, I feel like this is her unveiling as to where her evil stems from.
Yeah. And I don't know, too, like, realistically, like, the logistics of how that would work out. But, unfortunately, this is my frame of reference. A lot of TV shows have private prisons, and, like, the judge is getting a kickback from sending, like, kids to this private prison to, like, keep them in business and, like, keep getting support. But also, like, it's happened before in other businesses.
Right.
You know, just, like, in Hollywood, like, an agent will send you to this head chef photographer and that'll, like, send him $100.
Right.
So I just can't figure out if that's what's going on or if she genuinely maybe she's not right, but she thinks she's right.
I don't know.
You're 100% think she's evil.
Yes.
I just think that that black and whites it too much. I don't think they would write a character that is like evil and like twirling her mustache.
Right. You're right. I actually don't see them doing that either, but I don't know. But at the same time, I feel like there's been, for whatever reason, some game that she's been playing on Callie specifically because she needs Callie to get something that she wants. And I don't feel like it's something that's like, I never have felt that her intention is something from Callie that she wants that will better the world. You know what I mean? I feel like it's been too, like, secretive and malicious to be something that is actually for the greater good.
Oh, see, I don't think that Callie is a part... Callie's personal story or anything about Callie is, like, in Callie's future or, like, right. malicious intent towards Callie is non-existent. I think it's the perfect example of a foster child who, like, found a loving family and is now thriving after, like, three seasons of not.
For real.
And it's an amazing example for people to see. I think she's latching onto that story to exploit that. And I think was it anybody, she'd go to anybody it happens to be Callie.
Right. No, I completely agree with that. I just think she's using it to her advantage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be curious to see. I'm interested to see what, like, everyone else thinks, too. I wish we had Jillian and Steph's
perspective. I know, right? Also, because I am probably the least knowledgeable about anything that is, like, I don't know, slightly, like, political or bills or, I don't... Systems in any way.
Systems.
Hannah does not understand.
But we do understand the joy we feel when Rosie comes back. Rosie
oh, my O'Donnell. Gosh. Like, I just want to, like, something about Rosie, I just want to, like, jump in Rosie's arms and just, like, Rosie, just hold me.
And this character she's playing, they're putting her in, like, the, like, nice Navajo prints, like, plush sweaters. I love the conversation that Callie and Rita had the first scene together, because it was the most casual, nice, normal dialogue they've ever had.
Right? And her calling out Callie on being like, oh, I love hearing you complain about your parents, because you sound like a real teenager, and she does.
Yeah, which we brought up last week.
Yeah.
It's huge. And it's just nice that, like, usually she'll turn to her for, like, an issue and have their relationship moving on that. She called her a mentor, which touched me.
Which I loved, but then was completely turned around in the second scene when she doesn't believe or support what Rosie is saying. Like, it's like, you just called this woman your mentor, and now you're completely disregarding what she thinks immediately.
Well, I think it's because she hadn't heard Rita's point of view yet. And, like, this is a high school student who's malleable.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, I'm the exact same way, too. In, like, politics, I'll read an article about Hillary Clinton, and I'm like, yes, 100%. And I, like, am regurgitating facts, and, like, maybe just, like, a headline, maybe I don't even read the article. And then I read an article at Bernie, and I'm like, you know what? Bernie's the man.
Yeah.
What did the article say? I don't know, but the headline said this. So, you know, like,
get that.
Like, she's in high school, and, like, we're about almost out of teenager years.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like just, like, as impactable and imprintable.
Yeah, I supported it. I was like, that's words I understand.
We're imprintable people. Okay, speaking of politics, a White House invitation. This excited me to no end.
This only excited me because I'm like, Barack Obama's going to make an appearance, and then we're going to bring him in the studio. Like, White House comes to us.
Well, if she does meet the president, who do you think is going to play them?
Barack Obama.
Hillary Clinton visited the set of Scandal yesterday.
Shut your mouth.
I don't know that she shot anything, but she went to set at least. The report, I actually did read the full article. It didn't say whether or not she shot anything. But I don't know if, like, they're going to pull back, like, a Glenn Close, you know? Like, I want, like, a big name.
I would love that so much. So we have to get her to the White House.
I know. And because it's the Fosters, I think it could be, like a black transgender man, like, as the president. They're like, look at this statement. Gender.
We all got
it. Like, making statements.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
I would love that so much.
Also, I'm so excited because all my favorite TV shows involve the White House, be it House of Cards, Veep, Scandal, The West Wing. I want us to go to the White House so bad. I want Callie to, like, stay there and be, like, an intern. We'll do a spinoff. Oh, God.
Then the Fosters will have finally made it, like, fully in your book. Like, no, no doubts at all. We made it to the White House. Sold.
9 out of 10, people. 9 out of 10. What if it's Julie Louis-Dreyfus? She just, like, hugs her.
That would just, words wouldn't be able to come out. I would love that so.
Clearly.
So much.
So here's the big question. The moms were not overly jumping up and down about this.
I can understand them not jumping up and down about the board, but I was kind of upset that they weren't jumping up and down about the White House.
Right. I needed them to be like, to say this, there's some shade going on, but right. Like, OMG, the White House.
Exactly.
Like, POTUS 101. I don't know that we're ever going to go to the White House. Like, I mean, clearly, logistically.
Right.
In a show, if they do go, she'll go alone, and then right. She'll come back, and we'll see, like, the entrance and the exit.
True, and maybe, like, some pictures that we've put her head in. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like, I'm, like, Malia's body. And you're like, that's Obama and Malia Obama. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's exciting. I just wanted them to jump up and down
right.
a little bit.
But then at the same time, like, I couldn't help but think, do we want Kelly to go to the White House for a bill that could potentially not be good for her? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm glad that they brought it up.
Yeah.
Like, what are you supporting?
Right. And I can't believe that she's made that PSA thing about it before knowing what she's supporting.
Right. And I was kind of surprised that at least the moms didn't know. As an underage person, you need,
exactly.
like, the parental signature.
Yeah.
So I expected them to ask these questions before.
Yeah. I was confused about that as well.
So I wonder, too, just, like, obviously they're wary yeah. about what she's supporting and putting her name and face on.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, even if, like, privatization goes through, which they're making us not want to support, I think at the end of the day, like, Callie's can profit from it either way.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know, when she's writing her college admission essay, she includes a picture with Obama, and she, like, writes about the Faustin Found, which is amazing.
Yeah.
She was talking to Senior Project today, and I was like, is Faustin Found not qualifying?
That's what I thought, too. I was like, hold up. I think she's done enough of, like, a thesis project. Like, I think this is enough.
Yeah. I don't know. And then, what was she interviewing Rita? It just sounded so small. I thought that was for the Senior Project.
I guess, yeah.
It's not a project, an interview.
Yeah.
Why are we bashing interviews? That's what we do.
Yeah. yeah, I'm actually confused by that, because I'm like, what? I think that she's done enough, and I feel like almost just writing a paper or presenting yeah. what she has done in the process that she went through for Faustin Found would be, like, enough.
That's a massive thing. It's helping tons of yeah. kids. And then compared to the other projects of R&J, which we didn't see today, and then this community garden,
yeah.
like, that is on that level, if not greater.
Oh, completely.
So I don't know what to think.
Yeah. I would just be like, I pass on this one because I was busy doing, like, I don't know, bills.
Bills.
Trying to pass a bill. I think I'm excused.
Yeah, here's my commercial.
yeah, right?
She's like, I didn't write a college essay, but here's this.
Yeah. Found me.
When AJ popped in and gave the apology to the family, I was glad that Mike was there for moral support.
Yes.
But, like, then that segued into, to jump to the very end of the episode, hand-holding and a kiss.
Yeah. Which I have, which was cute. I thought it was actually, like, a cute yeah. moment. I forgot that I liked the chemistry between them until they did kiss and, like, pulled away, and he was like, guess not. And it was, like, kind of a cute moment. But at the same time, like, I think that I feel like, or I felt in this episode, there were moments that we were, like, hinting back to Brandon and Callie. Like,
yeah.
when she followed AJ out of the room and Brandon's, like, look as she walked out. I was like, but AJ, you know what I mean? I'm like, what?
Yeah. I think that just, like, for the first time ever, like, nobody has anything big. Like, things, issues will come up, but nobody has anything, like, big issues that we know of yet.
Yes.
It was all been, like, settled.
Exactly.
Ty's going to, like, to jail or prison, unfortunately, and AJ's going to hopefully move into Mike. It just isn't in the middle of, like, a hurricane when they're like, let's now do our kiss.
Exactly.
So I was, like, really happy about it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Because I feel
you
like
don't have to agree with me.
No. I agree with you. Because I feel like we put all of the, like, big life issues and kind of have ended them in this episode, and now we're setting up to go back into all the, like, relationship issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I think too, like, their relationship is where he's where Callie was, like, at the beginning of, like, last season.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't know what's going to happen with his family. Hopefully he'll stay with Mike, but we don't know, like, anything definite right now.
Which is fine and all good, and they're still cute together, but I feel like it then backslides Callie in some way, because she's made so much progress to be settled on her own and yeah. to be, like, a normal... I still shouldn't say normal teenager, because how many normal teenagers are working to pass a bill and doing this, like, app thing and really changing the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But her issues have kind of gone aside, but now she's going to end up focusing on AJ and his issues again.
I think, though, that, like, the key to that is that she's coming from, like, a more stable place. Yeah. She has a loving family and a home.
And she ain't got time for that, though. You know what I mean? Like, once AJ's problems, like, step back into play, I'm like, girl, you ain't got time for that.
I know. I think it's been really exciting seeing Callie grow, though. Like, she gave this really nice apology to AJ. She didn't know what was going on, and she just, like, said straight up what happened and what she expected.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, and it was cute and sad and heartfelt going to, like, the grave and letting him do his, like, goodbye.
Yeah.
And I thought that was sweet, her being like, listen, she'd understand, like, you were with your brother. You went off with your brother.
Yeah, she's very understanding. They were at Fran Bennett's grave. Oh, God. The grandma. That's who plays the grandma.
Oh, I'm like, did you see that? Who's Fran Bennett?
She's the actress I'm obsessed with who plays the grandma.
I'm like, was it an actual person who passed away and you caught, like, the glimpse on the
costume? Fran Bennett is, like, in her 80s, and I feel horrible. No, I feel good and bad. The good part is seeing somebody this old on screen, like, I think it's great, and she looks old, and I mean in the best possible way ever. Like, I want to see old people with wrinkles, and she's been around for so long acting, and she's still acting, and that's great. The horrible part is that since she is an older actress, she plays older characters, and 9 times out of 10, her older characters die.
That's never
on Scandal, she died. On this show, she died.
She died.
I think she was in some Star Treks early on.
That can't be great. You can't be great, like, hitting a point in your, like, career or whatever where you're like, yeah, all my characters, they die. They die.
They die. It's okay.
They're all dying. Feel really good about my own life now.
You know what? I just remember, too, when I was expounding on Fran Bennett's, like, positives, I saw her in a play in Hollywood, actually, a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, she was in Macbeth at Antaeus Theater Company in North Hollywood, and she was one of the witches.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that is so awesome.
Still working. 8 shows a week. I was like, 4. It's fine. 4 shows a week. We have to move on.
Yeah, I'm like, so intrigued by that, though.
I'll recount her whole IMDb later.
Yeah.
But so we see Ty's court case.
Yes.
Steph, luckily, is feeling better. It's been 10 days since surgery. She goes and speaks. Yeah. I thought she gave a really moving speech without... And I thought the moving part was it wasn't, like, emotional and, like, tugging on heartstrings. Right. It was stating the simple facts that this kid has had a heart, was dealt a bad hand. And the fact, what is his first charge? I wrote it down.
Oh, hit I don't run?
I mean, he threw a rock into, like, an abandoned building.
Oh, you mean his, like, past.
Yeah, his past. So, like, just, like, the fact that, like, the criminal justice system has not been nice to him.
No.
Like she said.
Throwing a rock in an abandoned building, I'm like, get over it.
I know. And then just all the other things, like, it... No wonder he's disillusioned,
exactly.
As she said.
And would be terrified of any run-in with a police officer.
Yeah.
Because he's going to jail in his mind. Yeah. Whatever it is.
And so for 18 months, Judge Judy was a little bit nice, but not as nice as we wanted.
Christina Walters, I believe was her name.
Oh my God, good memory.
I'm always intrigued by whatever the judge name is anytime.
Are you?
Like, oh yeah, on any show. Like, I always want to know. Or like the principal, like anytime there's a nameplate.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I want to know what the name is.
I really liked Callie's line, though, convincing Steph to go to court. The, when I got here, you told me I wasn't disposable. Why is Ty?
Yeah, I loved that. I love that Callie is constantly reminding them of what they did for her when they first met her, and that nobody else is different.
Yeah.
She's a little fighter.
A fighter.
She is. I love
it. She is. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other legal matter to talk about, the minor offense from the title, Gabe.
Oh.
Where'd you think I was going?
I have no idea. Like, I had to, like, go back and connect the dots again to why I didn't get it the first time that you brought it up, and I was like, what minor?
I'm trying
minor?
To segue here.
I know, and I'm like, yeah, I got you. What?
Huh? Let me have a smooth transition. Smooth as possible. Gabe, shout out, I think, was it Steph and Jill, who weren't here, Jillian? They called it that it was Anna underage.
Yes!
I think Steph came up with that.
I think so, too.
That all made sense.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we didn't, like, drag it on too long.
No, absolutely.
Like, sucks offender in our midst.
And just did it. We called on Anna really quickly and figured it out, and I liked that. And I always love when Anna's there. I love any scene that she's in.
I really do. This is going to sound like a tangent, but I promise it's not. Have you heard of the Modern Love podcast?
No.
It's an amazing podcast. I think the fans of the Fosters would like it. it just is pretty much a reading by famous actors of modern love columns from the New York Times.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so Sarah Paulson read one called Not So Simple Math about open adoption. And it reminded me of Anna, because I don't know if we've ever labeled it an open adoption, but we know the kids know who Anna is. They have a relationship with her as much as they want. And this article just talks about this grad student who gave up her child for adoption, and it's an open adoption, so she has a relationship with him, even though he doesn't live in the same city, and just going through the process of choosing the mom who raised him. Luckily, she chose this amazing woman who doesn't make her the birth mom a secret. They talk about her when she's not there.
I love that.
Yeah, and they like send pictures, they talk on the phone, and just hearing people talk openly about adoption, it's not something we hear that much.
No, it's very true.
Yeah, so she says that giving up her son was the simultaneous best thing she ever did, because it gave him this future with this loving mother, and the worst thing.
Yeah.
Because now she's talking from the perspective of being 30 and like now wanting to have a kid and being at the right place. So that's called Not So Simple Math, Modern Love.
I love
that.
Just
remind me of Anna.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, I think the more we talk about adoption too, like so many people have so many massive opinions about it.
Yeah.
And the ways things should and shouldn't be.
Exactly.
There's not like one way.
Or like assumptions of how people will feel years down the line going through the process. But I love that the show shows almost like the expansion of family rather than like the issues that can come up between all of the different parents and the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I like that Anna sits down with them and talks with them, and they even say openly to Anna, but you've always told us this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, showing how she still has a maternal impact on them right in front of their moms. You know what I mean? And that's not, there's no jealousy or anything.
Oh, I know. I love the way you said it, the expansion of family. You're right. They never once, while they might be like hesitant about like their new relationships, it's never like, you can't have this.
Exactly.
They give the option to Jesus and Marianne in this case, which is amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
Wow, I know.
But I was not happy, though, with the fact that even after finding out this information and Jesus going back to Gabe, that Gabe was like, no, I'm not your father. I'm never going to be your father. And I was like, why? But why? But seriously, though. I'm like, but why? Because I thought the issue was that you couldn't see them. But now that you are, I don't know. There needs to be, I'm ready for the more conversation opportunities to happen between them to discuss everything.
Right. And well, we did see in the preview for next episode, Gabe, the father, is in that episode.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get answers there, but I don't know if it's just that he doesn't want a kid, which is one of the reasons why they gave the kids up for adoption, which is like valid, you know, like I don't know what the desire is, but like Jesus deserved a reason, like you said.
Or like, exactly. And like, is it, you know, now with knowing exactly what happened and that Anna did have like real feelings for him, I'm like, well, now is that going to open the door to potentially Anna and Gabe having some sort of talk or conversation and moving past their history? And does like Gabe look at these kids also as a reminder as to what happened and everything that he lost? You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I think that would be there's so many storylines already.
Yeah.
I think that they don't want to like make it the Gabe and Anna show.
Right. And agree.
You know what I'm saying.
And I am slightly concerned that which I am all about Big Wolf on Campus being a part of this show and him being there. Like, I'm so in support of it. But at the same time, I am kind of hesitant about the relationship that he will have with Anna and with the kids because of how much I want Mike and Anna to be a thing.
I would love for the show to end with them together.
Oh, I can. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I think that would just be like a lovely, nice touch.
That would be like the final bow. You know what I mean?
Out of a lot of bows. We want a lot of bows, though, but this is like the last bow.
Like Callie and Brandon, absolutely. But this would just be like the, yes.
I know. And I just think that Anna's reasoning makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
She was open about her entire struggle with, as she said, was a junkie, but we can call it an addict. And to like not think that they came from two people, like a drug dealer and an addict, I think is actually like, I don't want to say like admirable, but like, you know what? If Gabe's not in the picture, why admit to it?
Exactly. I did.
I'm going to be delicate in that because I don't want to like, be offensive.
Right.
But, like, why hide? But, like, yeah, I understand the reasons to hide.
Exactly. I completely agree. And I did, I just have to say, though, that I did love her little comment that's like, I mean, it was basically just pot. I mean, not that that's okay, but it was just, I did love that, actually. I was like, that's kind of really great. Just okay. To clarify, he wasn't dealing really, really bad, but, like, he wasn't
that's
dealing great
know.
Things, but, like, not like the worst.
She's like, I knew it's Breaking Bad, it's not meth.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, not meth, great.
Great.
What were your feelings about the double date?
Hilarious, one. Started really hilarious, and then by the end I was like, y'all, why be idiots?
Okay, tell me your feelings pre-getting in the car.
Pre-getting in the car, I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I was disappointed in Jesus because he was basically leading on Lexi to get back at Mariana.
I agree totally. And then they had that really nice moment.
Which, you know, was still, like, bull because he was protecting himself and Lexi and trying to make her feel a little bit better.
I think, though, that, like, with a kid with, like, a sex drive, maybe he's like, this is a beautiful woman, Lexi, and, like, maybe I'll be into it.
I didn't like that.
I mean, I agree. This is a side of Jesus we've never seen. Like, we've seen, like, I said the manipulator, but, like, so actively
yes.
manipulating.
Like, he's getting a little
he's always
jaded.
On his way. But, yeah, totally.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly jaded. You know what I mean? Like, not like I'm just being, like, a punk and purposely rebelling. It's almost like pushing him to go faster in the car, doing that little moment with Lexi. It was, like, actually genuine actions of doing that. You know what I mean? That I was like, that's what we should be concerned about.
Yeah, I know. And then having them in the driving scene, were they driving in the turning lane? That's what I thought it was. I thought it was a two-lane road, one going each way, and then a turning lane inside. I don't know the exact specifics, but that's what I thought it was. That's why
I
was freaked out.
I didn't even notice that.
Because I was like, someone's going to turn at this turning lane.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that, and if I would have noticed that, I would have been more freaked out. I would have been like, they're coming.
I thought they were going to get a car wreck, and I was so upset.
Yeah, me too.
One, that it would happen, and two, that, like, it would happen again.
Exactly. it would happen again. That's more so where I was. I was like, really, let's not do this again.
I have to say, though, that anytime an actor is in a car in a TV show or movie, and there's another person in the car or any of us, I always think there's a car wreck happening.
Oh, me too.
They're talking, they're distracted, they're, like, looking at the person next to them instead of at the road, because it's, like, for camera angles, and I'm like, they're gonna get
exactly.
killed.
It's whenever the camera angles are on the profiles
yes.
of the actors. You're like, car accident,
look
car
at the road.
Accident.
Look at the road. Look at the road.
We either need to be straight on this way or straight on this way.
That's why I drive in LA. I'm like, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Oh, God.
Not great.
Okay, before the car, though, when Nick asked Mariana out and then showed up, I know that I've been very hard on Nick, but I was really excited for them.
Weren't you actually rooting for him when he showed
so
up at the door?
Sweet.
I was actually
yes.
rooting for him.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know either.
Like, I don't know when that switch happened, that I was all of a sudden like, yeah, Nick, get it.
I know. I think, well, for me, it started when that he checked in with Mariana about how her mom was doing.
Yes, that's true. Oh, my God. I probably subconsciously felt that way, too, and didn't even realize that was the moment.
Yeah, because that's, like, the proper thing to do, but not any, like, 16 or 17-year-old guy knows that or would even think about it.
Nick manipulated our feelings as well.
I know. I think that she'll give him a second chance.
Oh, I think that she will, too.
Because Jesus set him up for failure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's the one that we're going to grow to love.
I think so, and I can't believe how fast it happened.
I know. I actually really was concerned. I was like, what's happening? Why am I rooting for this?
I know.
Well, and they've given us, also now when they were, like, sitting down eating the food, they've given us something to, like, feel for him, talking about his dad.
Oh, yeah.
But then it made me go crazy, and I was like, what's his dad's story? Is his dad going to be Gabe also? What's happening right now? I went a little crazy.
I just thought it was, like, anywhere from, like, light child abuse to, like, heavy child abuse to, like, he was harsh on him and, like, had a lot of rules.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone has, like, childhood trauma, and especially on this show.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So that's why it's fascinating seeing people able to get over it. For Callie, it took a while.
Yeah.
Granted, she had, she had every reason to, like, need time, but that's why it's exciting to see, and I wonder how much we'll get into Nick's backstory.
I imagine we have to get into it pretty much. I feel like dropping that in means we have to explain it.
See, that was enough for me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't need to know specifics. I just need to know, oh, he's like a three-dimensional character. And
yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I'm curious.
I don't feel like we'll get into it, like, in a big storyline, but I think that Mariana and him will get into it. And I think that'll be something that, like, makes their relationship blossom.
Yeah, I agree. It just, like, took his defenses down. Like, a moment of vulnerability, I think she could latch onto.
Absolutely.
Totally. And I will say that the end result of all this brought Lexi and Mariana closer together.
It did.
Finally.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah, they're bonding. And then also them talking about being popular. I forgot how important that was in school.
I did, too. I thought the exact same thing during that conversation. She's like, you're still more... She's... Can't use my words. She's like, you're still more popular than me. And I was like, God, we really did care about that so much in high school.
But also you had to care about it because you only saw all the same people.
Right.
Like, being popular when you're older doesn't exist because there's not groups of people to know if you're popular or not.
Exactly. You know?
And also the best part about growing older is that you don't need to hang out with people you don't want to hang out with.
Right.
Which is my favorite part. Right. Which is why I'm ending this conversation. Right. Bye. Bye, Julian and Seth. They're, okay.
Rude.
Just. But yeah, I love that. And I like just like addressing that again.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time. We need to talk about my least favorite character in the world. Say her name.
Courtney.
It's Courtney.
With no you. No you.
Courtney, Courtney, Courtney. What is Brandon's problem?
He's lost his mind. Is it like he is scrambling.
He is scrambling. He's writing songs about surfer girls. He's planning 15-minute dates, and he's meeting the son of his TBD girlfriend, who he is like 4 years older than.
How much did you love those seeing baby daddy? Like, baby daddy coming in with, like, his, like, hippie sweater on that you know so many people who have, and you know those people
know
and what
exactly
they're like.
Is.
You know what I mean? You know exactly who that is the minute he walks through in that sweatshirt. You're like, you've got to be kidding me.
That was amazing wardrobe.
Yeah. Hilarious.
And I love that he comments on Brandon's age.
Oh. When you already have a kid in here. Like,
I know. God.
Killed me.
I kind of wanted Brandon spending time with Mason, the child, to be like, yeah, sorry, dude, I can't do this.
Me too. And instead, like, I feel like it was that, but then he chose to be like, I don't really care, I still want to do this. Like, which makes me think that he's doing it in spite of something.
I think it's to, like, stick it to your parents, so as like to wave a bell. I also think that when you're that age, you look for reasons to be interesting.
And, like, dramatic, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was a vegetarian for 3 years. And I genuinely think it was just because I, like, wanted to, like, act like I stood for something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was, like, the thing I found first. And, like, Courtney's the thing he found first.
Oh, absolutely. I totally get that.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's move into predictions.
Okay, great.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. We saw some more of Courtney.
Yeah.
In the predictions. I don't know what's going to happen there. Wait, so let's see. I feel like a lot of big things happened that they showed glimpses of. Let me just go through it. We saw Callie and AJ.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Gabe and Jesus again. We saw Callie talking to Brandon about AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw a miscellaneous hand with pills. And then we saw Callie with police lights behind her.
And looking, like, distraught.
Yes.
I don't even know what to think about that. Like, I really don't. Like, I don't know who that could possibly be. I really, really don't.
I don't know.
Because who is hitting that?
My first thought, which I do not think will actually come to fruition, so let me share it with you.
Great, great, great.
Was another suicide attempt by Sophie. The sister. It's Callie's half-sister.
Oh.
Because remember, she has, the personality disorder?
I totally forgot about that. That's total possibility. But if so, then great, because I would like to see Robert Quinn.
I don't think those were her hands, but I just think that we've dealt with suicide lightly in the past and it's been with that character. Although those pills could not have been, like, intending for to take one's life, so I don't know.
Right. That could have just been, like, misleading us to jump to these conclusions.
Oh, probably. What if it's like, oh my god, it's gonna be like Steph being like, oh, I have pain.
Exactly.
I need a pill.
That's probably all it's going
to
be.
Cut to, like, last season's police car. Like,
right.
Lights.
And police lights for, like, I don't know, something with AJ and Ty or something. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
Or, like, what's his butt? Nick gets arrested for speeding. I mean, Steph told him she'd do it.
Oh, you're right.
Or, like, Jesus doing that.
I need to... Jesus needs a talking to.
He does need a talking to. And I'm actually a little concerned that, like, with him finding out things about Gabe and Gabe's history and what Jesus has been going through and the way he's been acting is going to spark him to act out more, thinking he's, like, following in the footsteps of the only father he knows.
Oh. Wow. On that note, I think we should say goodnight.
Okay, great.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Where can everybody find you on Twitter?
Y'all can find me on Instagram, Twitter, at TheHotShotDude.
Cool. And I tweet from JeffMasters1. We'll see you next week, guys. Good night.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.